these are the times that we rise. The cream rises with a little agitation. The strong rise with a little conflict. What's going on in this country is time for the body of Christ to rise. It's time for us to pray. Listen, we're not up against, you need to understand something, even the corona stuff. It's not Republican and it's not Democrat. It's from the pits of hell, from the Antichrist. This is a spiritual thing, because every last one of us will have to admit the math makes no sense. Right? And I know people who have gotten it, and they've recovered just fine. But the math makes no sense for what they're doing. It is a spiritual thing. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up and begin to pray. We can only hold so much of it back, because if you've read the book of Revelation, there's a storm coming. And I personally don't want to be here myself. So it's time for us to rise. There's a song by Disciple. Whenever it comes on my playlist, man, I mean, it just really, it's called About to Rise Up. All of my people, we're about to rise up. I mean, if you don't know who Disciple is, they're a pretty hardcore Christian group. But it's just talking about it's time for us to rise up. Amen. It's time for us to quit fighting each other. It's time for us to quit spitting and spatting over whether to dunk or whether to sprinkle or whether or not to baptize. You do know baptism doesn't get you in heaven, right? It's confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. That's it. So let's keep that in mind. We're going to be, you know, as you pray this week, you know, obviously you've got something to seriously be praying about. You should have been praying since last Tuesday. But we're going to continue to stand. We're going to continue to believe. We're going to believe that God is going to move on the face of this country. Amen. Now let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. First off, Lord, that we still live in the United States of America and that we can still worship you as we see fit. Father, we praise your holy name. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the creator of the universe. And now, Father, part of our worship is to bring to you our tithe and our offering. We bless it now by presenting it to you as holy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and Super Kids are dismissed. So Friday afternoon, I got a phone call, and I took it, and it was my neighbor, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?" I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I said, "Well, not much that I'm aware of. I actually had things I was going to do," and he said, "You want to try to fix your driveway?" Now, I've been filling the holes in, but I have a serious water problem. I have a spring in the middle of my driveway. And even though I tiled it in the spring, it moved 2 feet north and bubbled up there. I'm like, it's like putting holes in the dike for the little Dutch boy. You know, eventually you run out of fingers. And so I just come to the point, like, until I can figure it out, I'll just keep filling the hole back in with the blade. And he said, I got access to a backhoe. Let's put you in a good ditch down there on the bottom, run it over to your waterway. And I told him, I had to change the time because I forgot about men's breakfast. I wasn't going to be back until about 11, so we got back. And he's up the road there digging in the ditch. He's cleaning out the ditch up the road from me. And then he came down and we started working on mine. And the more he dug, the more I thought, you know what you just did? You just created a problem. It created more work. We dug down here, the ditch level was here. Anybody see the problem? So he had to go dig the ditch down to match my waterway. And he eventually did it. But we got to digging in my waterway. We got down about 2 feet. Nothing but topsoil. We hit concrete. Years ago, somebody else had tried to figure this problem out. And they put a great big drain in there. They had a big concrete slab in there. And they never figured it out. They just left it go. They had access, they had tractors because it was a working dairy farm. So they just always fixed the driveway like I was doing. But anyhow, I just thought of how often is it we've looked back at this country and we try to fix the problems the same way? If it didn't work the first time, there's a different way to fix it. And that's what I kind of got out of that yesterday. I was like, I mean, it took us a while. We got a drain. I told him, I said, here's what we have to do, because I have water coming from 3 different points up there. And if anybody's seen my driveway, you know what happens. It ends up in the road, and they just paved it. It is pretty. My in front of my house is beautiful for now. But I thought, how often do we try to keep fixing the same problems the same way? And we dig down deeper and deeper, and we find out somebody already tried that 60 years ago. Somebody already did that, and it didn't work. Why do we think it's going to work now? Socialism isn't going to work. Greed doesn't work. So that's one of the things we need to be praying for this country. We need to be praying for a change of heart in people. That's the only thing that is going to work. It's not going to be doing this over executive letters or executive orders and this and this and this. It's prayer, folks. That's the one thing that always works. It's praying fervently for our leaders. It's praying fervently for our country, for our brothers and for our sisters. And that's what God, last year, God really began to move on my heart that as these times, I believe, are getting shorter and we're getting closer and closer to seeing the return of Jesus. I believe, he said, he spoke into my heart, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Too many people are building churches to become businesses. We got this, we got that, we got this, we got that, we got this. We got to build gymnasiums in them. I think it's a cool idea, okay? Don't get me wrong. A gymnasium is not the priority. No, not whatsoever. You can rent the gym from the school. What we're missing is prayer. Churches do not believe in the power of prayer anymore. They say canned prayers. There's only a handful of times I have ever done a canned prayer. And most of the time they let me, I got to write my own prayer, so it wasn't really canned. It was my words. Because I want it to come from the heart. When I first started preaching, I found out that there's little books with sermons in them. Did y'all know that? Preachers don't have to study. Preachers don't have to live life. Preachers don't have to do it. They just open up a book, rip it out, and there's their message. And you can tell most of them don't know it because they don't live what they're trying to teach. And I said, God, I don't want that. I want, if I were a single man, never having married, I honestly cannot give you marital advice. Right, men, women? Would you take marital advice from a single person? If you're smart, you won't. They have no clue what they're doing. Marriage can be tough sometimes. How about raising kids? I heard that Dr. Spock wrote that book about not disciplining your children, and then after had kids, recanted what he'd said because it was stupid. We do this with the Word of God. And so last week, God had already moved on me to begin to teach you some things that Jesus was teaching. I'm teaching, take them straight from the Bible, okay? We're in Matthew chapter 5. Let me get my eyeballs on, because all I see are little ants on the page. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Now, I was reading some interesting things on this, and my science teachers might know this. Salt really does not, cannot lose its flavor. But it can be contaminated, and its flavor drawn out by that. I wrote this down. It was a guy I came across. Albert Barnes in 1834, he was in eastern countries where salt was impure, or is impure. It's tainted with earth and other substances such as vegetables and grass and roots. And what Jesus said, it would be good for nothing but to be thrown out and used as concrete for your drive, for your sidewalk, basically. He said, and this was in 1834, he said, over there it is the custom that when it gets to that point, they throw it in their walkway and they make it a sidewalk. But he said, when exposed to the elements, it lost its flavor. In other words, the elements drew all the flavoring out of it. But that which was closest to the rock retained its flavor. Jesus was trying to tell us a little something there. We have to be careful not to let too much of the world into us. We are to flavor the world, not the world flavor us. See, therein is a problem that I have with what's going on that seemed to be a great wave through the church. But the problem is we should have been leading the way. We have been fighting. That's not of God. It's not in the Bible. Well, neither is your pickup truck. But guess what? You ain't going to get rid of it, are you? Well, no, it's a blessing. It's a help. I mean, they had wagons. Yeah, but it wasn't a self-driving pickup truck. Get rid of your pickup truck. By the way, let's get rid of some of the clothes that you like to wear. Let's get rid of this. Let's go back to men not wearing skivvies. I hate to bring it. I'm going to bring that up. They didn't have skivvies. The Fruit of the Loom was not invented yet. The only people that got to wear them were rich. Nobody else could afford skivvies. Men or women. That's why they wore robes. I'll stop there for you. But we've taken the word, and instead of taking it and saying we need to affect the world, we've allowed the world to affect us. I believe years ago, it was always God's intention for music to pick up a little bit. He's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with a little rhythm and blues. But what did the church do? It's a tool of the devil. Christians can't rock and roll. I must be a Satanist then, because I have jammed. I hear well. There's just a constant ringing. I blame some C4 for that too. I was a little too close to that C4 when they blew it. But that's what we did. Well, women can't wear pants. They shall not wear pants. They shall not wear earrings or makeup. Now, guys, you can do whatever you want. But women, you ain't going to do it. I want to point out something. In the law, God had more restrictions on the men than he did the women. But religion crept in and flipped that. If you think I'm kidding, look at some of the different sects of Protestants. The men, they come out wearing normal clothes, but the women, they're wearing denim dresses, a hair cranked up in a bun, and they got their little, I don't know what they're called, doily on their head. But yet they drive the same truck you might drive, or they got cable, they got satellite, they watch TV. And this is a problem, I think, with the Amish community as well. They tried to keep the world out instead of being the flavoring to the world. We don't want the world. I mentioned something one day to an Amish guy who was doing some work for me. And I said, why don't you guys have a trailer? I see all these other guys, they've got trailers. They were using my trailer. I said, why don't you guys? Well, it gets a little tricky when you get a trailer. What, you don't have to unload your tools every morning or every evening and load them back up in my trailer in the morning unless I leave it? You could just leave them all on the trailer, drop the trailer, and the driver could go. But their mindset is, we don't want that. Well, the church fought air conditioning. Do you know how many people I have run into over the years? Oh, we didn't have church in my church, you know, that old wooden building. Well, you didn't have insulation either, and you had a coal wood burner sat in the back. Why? They barely had electricity to you. It was the time. Today, I wouldn't want to be in this building without air conditioning. Fortunately, we have such good insulation, it stays cool most of the time. But you start throwing 50, 60 bodies in here. Let's see, 400 BTUs per hour. You're, what, 24,000 BTUs? You got a pretty good little furnace going. And in the summertime, you might get a little rank. You won't be raising your hands because you aren't sure anymore. But Jesus said, you are the salt. You are the ones who are supposed to be flavoring the world, not the world flavoring the church. I don't believe we'd have the problems that we have right now if the church had stayed on track. But in the end, I ultimately know God knew it was going to happen. He allowed. He made provision. But he's also saying, it's time you come back to my word. Churches today, they preach self-help messages from the pulpit instead of the word of God. Now, if I see it in the word of God, I'll teach it. But I am not bringing in Dr. Phil so he can sit up here and talk to you about your problems when you got the great counselor. You got to get into his word. You won't know what the word says. You won't know how you can be the flavoring to the earth unless you're connected to the rock. Jesus is that rock, amen? How do you get to know Jesus? Well, you get to know his word. Let me keep moving on here. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He said, you're the light of the world. Now, here's a problem. We all, yeah, man, look at me. I'm shining. I'm the light. Where's your source? I got to get a drink real quick. In this day and age, you don't dare cough or sneeze in public. You might get stoned. Psalm 119, 105, it's not going to come up. Don't turn there. David said, your light, your word is a light unto my path. Your word. Well, according to John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. So Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the Word. Right there's the Word. How do you get to shine your light? By being in the Word. By knowing what the Word says. Also, this is the important part, the Holy Spirit. He's a part of God. You can't live that life without the Holy Spirit. You've got to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in order to properly interpret the Word of God. Because I'll tell you what happens when you improperly interpret it. You become legalistic. Peter had become a little bit legalistic, didn't he? He'd even been filled with the Holy Spirit, and God was having to work on him. He'd been fasting, and he'd sitting on top of a rooftop, and he fell into a trance and had this vision of a sheep being lowered from heaven, and it had all kinds of nasty animals on it. Anything that was unclean in the Jewish tradition was on it, and The voice said, "Arise, kill and eat." He said, "I will not do such a thing. Those things are unclean." God said, "How dare you call what I have called clean unclean?" Now, we can look in. I can tell you right now, if you go in the Word, I can show you things that God did them for practical reasons. Why were their baby boys circumcised on the eighth day? The vitamin K was at the highest level in a man's life ever on day eight. You know what they give a little baby now when they do that? Shot of vitamin K just before they do it, so it's at its highest level. It helps heal. You mean it's not ceremonial? Not really. God's not stupid. He is the ultimate scientist and doctor. I mean, crying out loud, the things we're discovering now, the atoms, we've broken it down to where we can now tell who is who just by these things called DNA. They could tell whether that child is of the father or not. They can follow the lineage. They could go back to my great-great-great-grandpa and they will find a strand that will match my great-great-great-grandfather. Isn't that wild? And that's been new. That's how they're able to find out what country you came from. I always thought we were Heinz 57. I mean, hillbillies most generally are. But boy, when my sister had it done, we got North Africa, Finland. I mean, we found out it goes over to the Vikings and all that stuff. And we knew Scotland. There's Irish in there. There's some English. It was all over the place. Ain't a one of us purebred. We need to get that out of our heads. But he said, we're to be the light. We're to shine for the world. We're not supposed to hide ourselves away. Some people say, I only do business with just Christians. How are you being a light to other people? You go where God leads you. If you're serious about praying, find out. Maybe God's got a contractor that needs to be saved. Maybe that Christian is who you want. Don't know. I'm just saying, don't get steadfast on a law that really doesn't exist and become a Pharisee. Actually be a scribe. The scribes were the ones who... I just recently learned that the scribes were both Pharisaical and Sadducees. They were both, one believed in the resurrection, the other one didn't, if you ever wanted to really know the ultimate difference. One believed there's a resurrection, the others didn't. The scribes, however, they would copy the word. They were the ones who studied the word. They knew the word. We're going to talk about jot and tittle here in a minute. They were the ones that put the jot and tittle there. They put everything on the page. So they knew the word inside and out. You talk about people that could quote you the Bible. They could do it. When you went up against a scribe, you were going up against somebody who was educated. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." We just sang that today. He came to fulfill the law. He didn't destroy it. When the law is fulfilled, it's done. However, you can look at the law and get an idea what's going on. I just told you a minute ago that the law has a lot of practical teaching in it. I've shared this before. We talk about all the unclean animals. You know, pigs. You know, pigs up until recent times were not fed grain, because grain was usually a little more pricey and people could eat the grain. So they were fed the slop. And pigs, by the way, are cannibals. You get a pig that dies in the thing. I've worked on some of the farms for Hordes and Kalmbach, and if a pig died in the thing, they were getting it out of there because the other pigs would eat it. And I know that true because they tried to pull my they'd get up on that thing, and I'm running new wires in there, and they're pulling my pant leg, trying to pull me into the pen. And believe you me, I was kicking. I'm not going down without a fight. How about catfish? I mean, I'll eat catfish, but I only eat small ones. Think about what you got to catch a catfish with. What's the best bait? Rotten meat. Yep, that was off the market. Gator, off the market. Shark, off the market. No octopus. Oysters, I know some of you hate them. I love them. But there's a reason God put them on there. They filter the ocean water. Now, as a filter, do you know there's actually an oyster season? Months with R. Why? Because the water gets cold. During those other months, they have something that causes us to get sick. You know why we don't shoot, why rabbit season doesn't start when the weather's warm? They have worms. And the worms die in the winter. Same things, I think squirrels do too. There's a season for all this, and God was trying to protect his people. We know this now. I'll shoot a rabbit and eat it whenever I want. Well, you tell me when the worms pass. Yeah, see how much you really like that. I'm just saying. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. He lived. He's the only one who lived a blameless life. He's the only one who could do it. You and I could not do it. And we talked about, I think Phil and I were talking about this the other day. He did it, but here's something you need to understand. He was fallible. He had to be able to sin. I know people just, their minds just, they went tilt. If he couldn't sin, what he did was not the same as what you and I are living. He had to be able to sin, and yet he chose not to. He was tempted by the devil, we know that. He chose not to. Even when the devil twisted the word. How many times has the devil twisted the word on people? Oh man, that's what he did to Eve. He twisted the word. Well, you shall not die, for God knows that in the day that you see, you will become like him. You will know good and evil. And exactly what good has that done us? I ain't found any good in it. You know, as a child, we didn't know wrong from right. We didn't know black from white. We learned all that as we grew up. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me help you out here. Sin is sin, period. Jesus wasn't telling us we have to live by the law. Paul was given the revelation later. You cannot live by the law. If you choose to live by that law, you have to abide by every bit of the law. Okay? And I can promise you right now, half of you are in violation of the law. Every man in here who has a clean shaven face, you're in violation of the law. Yeah. Tim, let me see. Who else? Because here's the thing. I'm looking around. Tim is the only one not in violation for that. Everybody else has got a trimmed beard. You weren't to trim it. You know, I told her the other day, I said, you know what it is, right? She's like, what? I said, it's No Shave November. I said, here's the deal. I said, I was getting ready to go hunting. I said, here's the deal. I said, I don't shave till I get a deer. Or I go crazy because it's driving me nuts. And she looked and said, why do you make it so easy? I'm like, one, I want the deer, but I don't want to go nuts. So the law, we can't live by the law. I mean, here's, okay, I shouldn't look around. I probably am the one. if you got a string hanging off your clothes anywhere, or a little rip that you're trying to hide. You know, today's fashions, we got jeans that they take and put sandpaper on them and wear them down. I'm like, man, I'll do that in about 6 months. You don't need to do that for me. Plus, they charge you more. Got less material and they charge you more for them. But you weren't to wear holes in your clothes. You were to fix them. You know, one thing I think I see about that is back in Jesus' time and even before the Industrial Revolution in this world, clothes were expensive. They were hard to make. There wasn't this great big mill over off some river just to cranking out linens and cranking out denim and all this stuff. There was simply one or two people in a shop running a loom. Anybody ever see that done? They run that. That's a lot of work. Just so they can make a piece of cloth. Right now, anywhere in this, even in today's situation, you can go to about any store, such as Walmart, Meijer, Target, Joann's. Yeah, because Peace Goods went out. You can go to any of those stores and you can buy bolts of cloth, ranging in whatever you want. You want satin, you got silk, you got your cottons. You got it. You want gabardine, you got gabardine. But not back then. And Jesus was trying to teach people to take care of what you've got. I believe that today too. Take care of it. If you don't take care of it, it will fall apart. People don't want to take care of their houses. Last week I went and picked up some materials for the church here above Bucyrus. And as I'm driving, I saw this house and I thought, man, I mean, the grass was kind of tall and pretty sure it was sitting like this. These are the outside walls. And there was a tarp on the roof, and I mean, it was in bad shape. There were people living in it, and they had brand new cars. Now, I'm from West Virginia. That's common. You see it a lot. They don't look like they got two nickels rubbed together. Boy, they got the great big Super Duty sitting out in the driveway, jacked up and all turboed up and spooled up and... What's wrong? The one investment, the car is always going to depreciate. Unless it is a vintage Ferrari, a vintage Mustang, a vintage muscle car, your car is going to depreciate. Your house? Probably not so. House values have only gone up. They come down a little bit, but they continue to climb. What you could buy in the 70s for $30,000, $30,000 right now, there's a house behind a church here. Tiny little lot. Right here's the ceiling height. The door height. I've been in it. The center support is rotted. They want $25,000. The house needs tore down. The lot is only worth $10,000. It's going to cost you $15,000 to have it tore down and hauled off. And you got a lot worth $10,000, and you ain't going to be able to put much of a house on it. Because you now have to abide by the new standards, 6 feet off the property lines. And it's not 6 feet. It's closer to 4, if not shorter. So $30,000 doesn't buy you today what it did back in the 70s. You're looking at $120,000. So your house appreciates. And God was just trying to teach people to take care of what you got. Your car, my opinion, when they start nickeling and diming you, I'm praying for a deer. Big one. I was working on the back of the church here the other day, and she comes up the alley, and she just shuts her car and says, "You're not going to hear this." I said, "What?" And she said, "My brakes are acting funny." I said, okay. She said, when I say acting funny, I mean they go to the floor. I'm like, well, that's not good. I said, well, just park it over here in the grass and take my truck. And so I got in it, and sure enough, they go to the floor. All the way to the floor. Pump them a couple times, you might get stopped. So I parked it out here, and I told her, I said, well, we'll come back at dark and get it. And she's like, why at dark? I said, there ain't hardly any other cars on the road. And I said, there's a good chance I'll hit a deer. And I ain't go back, because I have this innate, I have tried. I had a deer run out in front of me the other day. I hit the brakes. Like, wow. It's just second nature. I don't want to hit the deer. However, if you hit the brakes and you can't stop, that's another issue. It's insurance fraud. It is not. It's what I'm paying it for. Can't help the brakes went out. But we got it home safely. Don't anybody freak out. It's just a power booster. But in our opinion, it's time for the Buick to go bye-bye. That's all I'm saying. We've taken care of it, and now it's getting to a point where it's just one thing after another starting to go. When they get like that, I'm getting to a stage in my life, I didn't like laying underneath my trucks, but I could do it. I could take my transmission out, lower it down, put it back in, and do all that stuff. Yeah. It ain't a muscle car. I mean, I'd do that for a muscle car. I don't want to do that for my daily driver. So I'm trying to take care of my daily driver. And I think it's what Jesus was talking about. Take care of what you got. But in the law, the one thing you have to understand is love was actually taught in the law. That's why Paul was able to get the revelation about what love is. And that's why John got the revelation, because it's in the law. We're not going to get to it today, but we will talk about it next week. I believe it, yeah, should be able to hit it next week. About what happens when we start putting our opinions. Right now, there's a lot of preachers preaching opinion. And I've told you before, I will tell you what's my opinion, right? Everybody's got an opinion. People ask me, what's your opinion on this? I said, well, it's just my opinion. It's not the word of God. I said, but I have an opinion on it. And there's some things I've just learned that my opinion don't matter on that, so I'm just keeping quiet. But anyhow, verse 20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll finish up with this. I'll start my first closing. How's that? The scribes and Pharisees lived by the law. They didn't break the law, especially the scribes. They knew what the Bible said, or the Torah. They lived religiously by that. They kept everything, every one of the commandments. How many remember the rich young ruler? He came, Jesus said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, he starts listing off all these commandments. And he said, oh, teacher, I've done all those since my youth. And I read this morning, and it said, and Jesus loved him. I don't know if that means he gave him a hug or what he did. Maybe they record Jesus loved him, and he was just patting him, saying, oh, you poor foolish boy. Yeah, I don't know, but we'll say he hugged him. He hugged him and he stood back and he said, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Now, the Bible in Mark records that the man walked away sorrowful because he had great riches. The man had lived by the law, but there was an issue. He couldn't walk by love. Now, many scholars and theologians believe today that the man who we know as Barnabas was this man. We don't see Barnabas until after the resurrection, but that he finally did. And Barnabas became a great teacher. But that's just, again, it's a belief. I have no factual evidence of it. But Jesus said, unless our righteousness exceeds what they do by law. See, we should love each other because of love, not because it says, love your neighbor. I should love you anyhow. You know, when we live by law, I saw a car show the other day, and they were in Germany, and they were talking about the difference between the Germans and Americans. And I thought, well, we can go down a big old list on that. But he said, here is a huge difference of Americans. And he said, his one friend is in California. He lost his license. And he said, hey, let's go take a drive. He says, didn't you lose your license? Yeah. Well, you can't drive. Well, it doesn't stop me from driving. I just can't do it legally. But you go to Germany and lose your license. And he was in Germany, and people in the audience were shaking their heads. Yes. He said, you go to Germany, let's go for a drive. You can't do that. Why? You don't have a license. I can do that. No, you can't. It is impossible. You cannot drive, period. It's like you lost the ability. Not the permission, the ability to do it. The Germans live by law. Does anyone wonder why Germans, why they're World War II? They believed what they were told. That's why this garbage is having such a hard time in the United States. A lot of us are hard-headed. Solid rock. Why? Because one, we've had a taste of liberty. And that's what the difference is. We've had liberty, they've had legalism. And that's what Jesus was trying to point out. I've shared before that, you know, when she was pregnant with Jesse, we had some issues with her, and you know, they were watching her, and they said, hey, if you start labor, drop what you're doing and get to a hospital. Well, we were in Johnsville at her mom and dad's house, and it was April 1st. And she comes in and says, honey, I'm bleeding. Excuse me? I knew it was April 1st. I thought, this is a really bad April Fool's joke. She says, I'm not kidding. We jumped in that 89 Taurus that I had with a four-cylinder. Her mom jumped in the back seat with her. She's praying in the spirit, and I'm driving down. I can tell you some certain curves you can take at 85 and 95. But you better be praying, because boy, I was like, oh, Jesus, hold this car down, because I don't know what it is. It's like a brick. Let me tell you what, folks. Yes, I sped the whole way. I won't tell you what I blew through Mount Gilead at. But here's what they told me. They said, you have 5 minutes if she goes into full labor. 5 minutes. Do you know how long it takes somebody to jump in their little ambulance and get to you? 15 to 20 if they're right down the road. By the time it hits all the... 5 minutes. And they can't stop labor. I got from Johnsville to Marion General in 20. Yeah, I was flying. I'm not going to lie. But here's how God worked that. Not one cop. The road was clear. And I caught every light green. That is an impossibility in Marion. I'm like, oh, Jesus, please. Man, it was like boom, 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 boom. Green all the way up through. Nobody in my way. Nothing. Well, you broke the law. Absolutely. Because I love my son. Do I drive like that all the time? Absolutely not. That's stupid. And you may agree or disagree with me, but I promise you, he's here because of that. And I would do it again. See, there's a difference. I don't go out and drive 85 and 95 down the road. As a matter of fact, anymore, I find that I start off a little bit slower. My neighbors have really been bad influence on me. Thanks, Joyce and Ron, if they're watching. I drive about 15 miles an hour down my road now. I ain't gonna lie, the big potholes didn't hurt. They really slow you down. I just go slower. I like to set the cruise on the road, so I'll get up to speed and set the cruise. I've slowed down a lot. You can ask Pat. You can ask Rob when they rode motorcycles, man. It was just boom. I think JD even said something one day, hey, man, we ain't got to do 90. Well, I don't know what your, maybe my odometer's off or my speedometer's off because I wasn't running 90. But I've chilled out, slowed down. But if I have to get somewhere in a hurry, as an emergency, I know I can do it. See, but the law would have said, no, you can't do that. Well, yes, I can. I can get there if I have to. If I have to do something, I can do it. So we'll talk about more of that next week. We'll talk about how love, again, if you've been here for 5 minutes, you know right now what I'm going to say. Love, boom, is it. It's it. Love. Love our brothers and sisters. When our brothers and sisters are hurting, pray for them. Let them know that they've got somebody they can talk to. Let them know, hey, you're not in this alone. We're praying. We're believing with you. We're fighting for you. And if we need to get down and physically fight, we'll buy crackies. You know, the old song, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was. hopefully I won't bruise like Phil has. He's not even in here to take it. But we're gonna look at that. Our righteousness has to exceed what they're doing. And I'm gonna be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I see a lot of the church, their righteousness isn't even legalism. They don't think about other people. Well, you didn't think about anybody when you were driving through Mount Gilead. Like, I was thinking about everybody on the way through Mount Gilead. And God was too. And it was just like it was like that east wind that blew on the Red Sea, man. The cars were just disappearing. I caught every light in Mount Gilead green. I caught every light in Marion green. Nobody between me and Marion. Nobody. And my mother-in-law in the back praying, and I always tease her. I said, I don't think you were praying as much for the baby and Angela as you were for me and my driving. She says, oh, no, I wasn't even paying attention. I thought, well, it's probably good. But if we're going to try to live by legalism, you're going to fall short of what Jesus has called you to. You know? I'll eat a catfish. But it's got to be small. It's got to be breaded with cornbread mix, the sweet stuff. Don't give me one of them big nasty ones. Yeah, they're fun to haul in. But they taste nasty. God had a reason for us not to eat snakes. You couldn't eat snakes. I've heard they're greasy. I don't know. But there's a lot of things I don't want to eat. But I come from the hills. We ate a lot of stuff. My great-grandma, I'll end here. Just so you know, it's only 12. My great-grandma told me when I was little, she used to make head cheese. Anybody understand how that's made? Some of you going, ooh. It's not as bad as chitlins, in my opinion. She said, you used to love that. You'd eat it up. I'm like, now I'm just trying to think about it and not get sick. I used to love pickled pig's feet. Man, Dad would get them, and I was there all the time eating them with him. I can't find them now. Myers used to carry them. And I thought, I'm going to buy some and try them again. Yeah. Can't find them. Still find sardines, though. You'll start finding the people from the hills when you start mentioning foods like that. Pig's feet. Oh, yeah, potted meat. I mean, that's a delicacy. Man, you can mix that up, make it however you want it. Spam ain't got nothing on potted meat. At least you got chunks with Spam. This is all creamy. Man, we used to have potted meat sandwiches, and now I'm like, I don't even like Vienna sausages anymore. That's thank you, How It's Made on Discovery Channel. If they're doing one on your favorite food, do not watch it. You will never eat hot dogs again. All right, Stan. So again, next week we will actually recognize veterans, just because it's in between the 2 weeks, and I said I came up with something, but we're going to wait until next year on it, on what I wanted to do. So it's a little different. I said it's time to change up a little bit. I like change up. Do something new and interesting. And I think the vets will like it. So I'll share it next week. But remember to be praying for our government right now. I mean, do not worry about it. And as a matter of fact, honestly, here's what Angela's like, did you see this? Did you see this? I said, you know what? I don't want anything political tonight. Not one stinking thing. If you play that, I'm leaving. I don't want anything political. I did not want it corrupting my mind for today. It was on the good side, but I don't want anything because I want to be able to pray. I'll pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do what needs to be done because I know how my heart wants to go. Anybody relate with me? Yeah, I know they are because I see your Facebook posts. But understand this. We have got to be praying for this country, no matter how it goes. This is not a good situation we're in right now. And I think the rest of the world is just waiting to pounce. So let's just keep that in mind. So be praying for our leadership. Be praying for our Supreme Court because I got a feeling they're going to get called in on it. So... yeah. Oh, and wait, man. She listed all these things coming up as far as this week, and she forgot the most important day of the year. Okay, maybe not the most important. You got Christmas, the birth of Christ, and Easter, the resurrection of Christ. But the Marine Corps birthday is the 10th. you have to know Marines to understand that. We are very enthusiastic about November 10th. Honestly, they're the only ones. I don't see any, the Army and the Navy or the Air Force, Coast Guard, any of them doing it. It's Marines, man. We're nuts. We eat crayons apparently now and all kinds of things. So, yeah, I'm just not for sure. So, but anyhow. All right, I will pray because I have digressed. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your word. For it is a light under our path, a guide for our feet, Lord. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in our lives. Father, we thank you and praise you. You're moving in this country. We pray for strength for our sitting president. Father, we pray strength for our Supreme Court, for all of our leaders right now, Father, to do the right thing. Father, we pray that you lead them, you guide them. Father, I thank you and praise you. First off, if there is indeed corruption, then it is fully exposed. And justice will be swept in quickly in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're bringing peace into what could have been already, I know police departments have been set on high alert, Father. I pray right now that you begin to bring peace across this country as well. Father, I pray, Father, that even if it doesn't go the way many of us are believing for, Father, that you will bring peace to our hearts, knowing that you, that nobody is in authority without your permission. So now, Father, we thank you. We praise you for all that you're doing. Father, I thank you. You're touching those who are ill today. Father, I thank you. You're healing their bodies. And also, Lord, we pray that you be with those who are harvesting crops, Father, bringing in their crops before the next rain, getting this all done. We pray that you bless them, help them get through it as we prayed for dry weather. So, Father, bless them through this. Lord, I thank you for these people. I pray that you bless them this week, Father. As they go about their business, lead them and guide them, Father, in each and every step. Father, show them the way that they need to go each and every day. Order their steps in Jesus' name. Amen.